The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and this is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join me again. This week, we're going to get into the Word of God with something I believe will be very important for you to hear, something that will just challenge you and challenge your faith to a higher level. Amen. That's what we want to do here on the Word of Faith Netcast. Now, let me say that this particular topic that I'm going to be talking about here is something that we've already talked about to a certain extent on the Word of Faith broadcast. And, you know, some of it may, if you listen to the Word of Faith broadcast, may be repetitive. I don't want to say repetitive. You know, Paul made the statement that some of the things I'm sharing with you, I've shared with you before, but they are for your benefit for me to do so. So, you know, praise the Lord. If you have heard this message to a certain degree, praise the Lord, you're going to hear it again, but hang in there, you'll get more out of it, because every time you hear the word, you're going to get something more out of it. Amen? And some of you, I know, just watched the video netcast, and so you don't listen to the Word of Faith broadcast, so you haven't heard this at all. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, let me do say this, that I'd love for you to hear the Word of Faith broadcast. It is available on Word of Faith Radio, WFR.org, and I'd encourage you to listen every Monday through Friday at 11:30. That's 11:30 Eastern Time. So whatever time zone you're in, you may have to adjust a little bit. But 11:30 Eastern Time. The great thing about 11:30 Eastern Time is, you know, the next time zone would be 10:30. The next time zone, 9:30. The next time zone, 8:30. So basically, all those morning hours, Monday through Friday, are fairly prime time, if you will, for folks to listen to radio. So I think it's a great time to be on. At 11:30, it's good timing on the East Coast because folks are getting ready to go to lunch and they can listen to it during the lunch break. I know that's what I do in my office, is I actually listen to all the programs around me. Brother Copeland starts at 11 o'clock. It's a half-hour program. Then I follow his program, and then Bill Winston follows my program, Word of Faith Radio. And so it's a great hour to basically have lunch and listen to the Word of God. Amen? All right. Well, let's get into the Word. We're looking at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. This is a period of time during the earthly ministry of Jesus that it's giving us accounts of his life and ministry throughout the book of Matthew. And here we come to a point that, let me back up just a bit here. Matthew 14, let's begin with verse 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. There were a lot of folks followed him to hear him teach. Praise the Lord. That's certainly where I'd be, is to hear him teach the word. But the multitudes came, and he saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus healed their sick. Why? Because there were sick there. And he's sent for a reason, and that is to do the work of God. I'm going to adjust my mic a little bit here because it keeps trying to come loose. But at any rate, Jesus was sent, as we know, as the Lamb of God, to die for our sins, be raised again from the dead to our justification, and sit at the right hand of the Father where he now makes intercession for us. There's a whole mission that he has that he was sent here to do. However, in his earthly ministry, he did the works of God. It says that everything he said is what he heard his Father say. Everything he did is what he saw his Father do. So we know that the will of God is expressed through the ministry of Jesus. And Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now that tells us a couple of things. It's good to heal. There's a whole lot of folks that seem to want to teach that healing is of the devil. Well, guess what? Doing good and healing. Jesus went about doing good, and the part of the doing good he was doing was healing. And he was healing folks that were what? Oppressed of the devil. Sickness and disease is an oppression of the devil. All right? You need to settle that truth in your mind once and for all. Sickness and disease is of the devil. Healing, doing good, that's of God. Amen? Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Satan came to kill, to steal, and destroy. Get that straight. If you ever get that straight in your mind, it's going to help you understand the scriptures a whole lot more. You're not going to get confused, all right? Now, a little side topic here. Speaking of being confused, as I record this program, it is May the 21st of 2011. Now, according to an individual, this is the day of the rapture. And he knows that it's supposed to be today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Well, now, here's the thing. If you're watching this video and I'm not here anymore because I've been raptured, hallelujah. Okay? But guess what? I really don't think that it's going to happen today at 6 o'clock. You say, Dr. Bill, why? Well, first of all, I think it could happen anytime. All of the criteria, all of the requirements for Jesus to come and receive us in the rapture, they've all been fulfilled. So it could happen anytime. Don't get me wrong. But the truth is, no man knows the day or the hour. I don't care if they're calculating with biblical numerology or whatever. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son. The Father only knows the day and the hour. That's what he said in the Word of God. So, here's the thing. There's going to be a lot of false prophets, and there's going to be a lot of people. They're saying Jesus has come back, or he's here, or he's there. That's what the Scripture plainly says. But don't be troubled in mind because of these false predictions. My concern is, and I sent out an email to our email list about this, my concern is that there's a lot of hype and a lot of talk about the rapture occurring today, May the 21st, 2011, as I record this. But when it doesn't happen today, and the people are sitting around that believed it going, why didn't it happen? They're not going to come to the revelation, this guy was a loon. Unfortunately, they're going to say, well, none of this stuff must be true. I must be believing a lie. You know, the whole Bible must be a lie. No, the Bible is the truth. The loons that teach the junk, don't listen to them. Don't listen to false prophets and false teachers. Only hear the truth of the pure Word of God. And then you won't be confused. And you won't be... I talk to people at work. We're having problems sleeping for a month now because, oh no, the end of the world's coming. Come on, folks. You say, Dr. Bill, you weren't even concerned? You didn't lose any sleep? No. No, I didn't. All right, now that's just a side journey, but I wanted to bring that up because it's timely and it's sad that in these last days there are people who are going to be deceivers and are going to be teaching lies. And people are going to believe them, and it's going to affect them spiritually and personally. And that's a shame. It really is. All right, let's get back to the Word. We were talking about Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, Jesus, it says here, had compassion toward them and healed their sick. Verse 15, and when it was even, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals, or food. You know, kind of reminds me of the Beverly Hillbillies, victuals. That's what the term victuals comes from, victuals, which is an old King James term for food. That's all it means. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, the loaves and the fishes were not bigger in those days, okay? Let me just get that out now. No. they were saying, we don't have enough to feed the multitude. That was the point. But Jesus said, bring them hither to me. He knew what he was going to do. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now, I like that because it is a picture of the ministry of helps. The helps ministry is rendering practical aid and support to the ministry. Jesus is ministering. The disciples were acting as helps ministers for him to disperse the food. So basically, they had part in the miracle. That's what I love about the helps ministry. When I work in the helps ministry at Faith and Victory Church in Greensboro, where I go to church, Pastor Ed Taylor is pastor. He's up there preaching. I'm sitting in the back of the audio room, but I'm taking part in the ministry by rendering practical aid and support to him as pastor. Praise the Lord. You need to get active in your helps ministry in your church. Amen? That's just a little side note. But the 12 here helped disperse the food as Jesus break it and multiplied it. All right. Verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Well, you had 12 disciples. Each one had a basket. They went around gathering up the extra food, and there were 12 baskets of food left over. After having not enough to feed everybody, now they've got 12 baskets left over. We're talking a miracle, folks. Okay? A miracle of supernatural provision. Amen? Now, this tremendous, exciting miracle takes place. Then look what happens. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So basically, you can figure it's probably on the order of 15,000 plus that were fed supernaturally. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him or ahead of him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So he sends them ahead of him to go to the other side. And he then turns to the multitude, addresses them, and sends them away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. So he wanted to pray alone by himself. He sends the disciples ahead of him in a boat. All right. Verse 24. Now the ship was in the middle of the sea, so they'd gotten halfway, was tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Don't you love King James? The wind was contrary. There was a storm. It was bad. And these were fishermen who knew the sea, that knew the ocean, and water, and ships. So they knew they were in trouble. They knew they were going to drown if something didn't happen here. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them walking on sea. Now that's about 3 to 5, somewhere in that time frame, in the early morning hours. So it's still dark. They look out across the water, and here's a guy walking on the water toward them. So they saw that. When they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, or as the Amplified says, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. They were afraid. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now I mentioned the Amplified. I'm going to go to the Amplified version to read this, because I love the way this reads out of the Amplified. Excuse me. You may know that the Amplified, by as the name implies, amplifies the meaning from the original text, takes the Greek and the Hebrew and so forth, gets to the meaning of the actual words from the original, and then uses however many words or phrases or whatever it needs in English to fully explain what's going on. That's what the amplification of the Amplified is, all right? So it says here in the Amplified, verse 27, but instantly he spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am, stop being afraid. Woo! Hallelujah! Now that excites me, and there's several reasons. But one of the main reasons, right in the middle of what he said, I am. Jesus said of himself, I am. Well, you know what? The disciples knew. They knew the story of Moses and the burning bush and going before the burning bush and God telling him to go set the people free in Egypt and speak to the Pharaoh on his behalf. And Moses asked the Lord, "Who shall I say is sending me?" Because the Jews didn't know the name of the God, the true one God, that is God, that they worship. They didn't know his name. So God said, "Tell them, I am that I am has sent you." I am. It's a phrase or a term that the Hebrews used, Yahweh. I am. I am that I am. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus said, "I am." He was reminding them, "I am God manifest in the flesh. I am God. And I am here. You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God." Amen. That's what Brother Shambach says. And that is so true. Disciples, you're out here on the ocean. You're being tossed around. You're about to drown. But I am is here. The very one that made this planet. Woo! You don't have any trouble. All you got to do is believe and have faith. But now notice what another thing he says here. It says in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. So they're working out of a fear position. Terrified, fear. They were terrified. They said, "It is a ghost." And they screamed out with fright or fear. So they are now fully in fear. You say, "Dr. Bill, what does that have to do with anything?" I'm getting there. Fear is the reciprocal of faith. Faith is the reciprocal of fear. They are spiritual forces. That's what they have in common. One is of God. One is of the devil. One is positive. One is negative. Fear is of the devil, is evil, and is negative. Faith is of God and is positive and is a blessing. They're in fear. So they are fully given over to fear. They are not in a place to be in faith, which is what they need to survive. So what do they need to do? Jesus tells them, what's the first thing out of his mouth? Take courage. Stop being afraid. Take courage. Get yourself out of fear. Realize that I'm here. I am. Take courage. Now, take courage is not a... it's not a position of... let's put it this way. Wimpiness. "Oh, I need to take courage." No, 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 no. Take courage. That's aggressive. That's "I will not be denied." You see what I'm saying? It is, "I'm going to take courage. I'm going to reach out there and take it." I like what Gloria Copeland says about taking your healing. You got to grab it and you got to hold on to it like a bulldog with a bone. He's not going to let it go. You can take that bone and pick it up and you're picking up the dog with it. He is not going to let go of that bone. You need to be that tenacious. When you take a hold of faith, take a hold of courage, leave fear behind, and operate in faith. Amen? Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. Stop. Immediately. Now. Stop being afraid. You say, "But Dr. Bell, I can't just stop being afraid." Oh, yes, you can. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told him this. It's your decision whether you walk in faith or whether you walk in fear. And here's the thing about reciprocals. Picture a number line. With a number line, you start at a zero, and on the right-hand side of the number line, you go 1, 2, 3 with positive numbers. On the negative side of a number line, you go -1, -2, -3, negative. They're both number lines. They're both moving in different directions, but they both increment with numbers, right? So fear and faith are the same way. If I'm in fear and I turn around and turn away from fear, I'm working in faith now. I'm moving the other direction. So my direction has been fear. Now I turn 180 degrees, go the opposite direction, I'm in faith. Conversely, if I'm in faith, I'm operating in faith, I'm speaking faith, I'm a faith man, I'm out there operating in faith, and I turn and begin to operate in fear, I've turned away from faith and now I'm in fear. You see that? The term repent means to turn around. Turn. And that's why, that's what we're talking about here. If you're in fear, whatever is not of faith is of sin. So repent. Repent from the fear and begin to operate in faith. Turn and move in a faith direction. Take the courage. Be tenacious. Grab a hold of it. Get into faith. That's what he's telling the disciples here. And then let's look at what happens. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, I believe what Peter did is, here is, he got in faith. He had to have gotten in faith because of what happens next. Stay with me. See, a lot of people look at what happened to Peter only in the negative. What he began to sink. Well, see, but he did walk on the water. That's what we're about to see. All right, let's keep reading. Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you." Well, guess what? Jesus says, "Well, it's me." Jesus is a man of his word. He lets his yes be yes, his no be no. He doesn't waste words. He is a man of his word. Peter says, "If it's you, bid me come." Jesus says, "Well, come." Notice, I love the way this reads in the Amplified again. Now I know that there's no punctuation marks in the original Greek. Greek didn't have punctuation. They didn't have capital or lowercase letters. It's all in one case. No punctuation. Excuse me. But the Amplified amplifies the meaning of the original words in the Greek, which have certain connotations. So here it says, "He said, come," with an exclamation point. In other words, it was a command, which is exactly what Peter said. Peter said, "If it's you, command me to come on the water." So Jesus commanded him. He had a command of the Lord. He had the word of the Lord to come and walk on the water. So what did Peter do? Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Folks, Peter walked on the water. This old knuckleheaded, bless his heart, fisherman, ignorant, Galilean, didn't have a lot of education, not super spiritual. We know that from other things he did. Bless his heart. He gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. Was it because he was Peter, the apostle, the first pope, you know, all this kind of stuff? No, he's a fisherman. But he asked Jesus, "Command me." Jesus commanded him. And then what happened? He walked on the water. Now, you can say what you want about him sinking here in a minute, but he did walk on the water. So until you walked on the water, don't go criticizing Peter, all right? Amen. All right, but he walks on the water. But then what happens? Well, we just said he's a fisherman. He's a man that knows the sea and knows water and knows boats. And that knowledge that he has in the natural means that when he sees the waves and he sees the wind, then he begins to think, "Oh no, I'm in trouble." Now here's the thing. When it's really calm and the water's just glassy calm, could he have walked on the water? No. Why was he walking on the water? Because Jesus gave him the word come, and he's on the word, and he's operating in faith. He's taken courage. He's taken faith. And now he begins to look in the natural circumstances, and what happens? he begins to sink. Now, here's the thing I think a lot of people miss. He begins to sink. He didn't immediately sink like a rock, just boop, and he's gone. No. He couldn't have yelled out to Jesus if his mouth had been full of water. Blah, 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 blah. He couldn't have done it. He began to sink. His ankles went under. And then he's down to his knees. And then he's down to his thighs. He's beginning to sink. And he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," the Amplified says, "from death." He believes he's about to drown. He's now in fear when he was in faith. And now he's reaping what he's sown, which is fear, and he's about to drown. Jesus reaches out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You started in faith, but now you're doubting. Amen. That's what I'm trying to show you here. Two things. One is, like Peter, you got to get out of the boat. That's what I was talking about on the radio program. That was the topic. You have to get out of the boat. If you just sit in the boat and say, "Oh, Jesus, you're walking on the water. Hey, that's great." But for you to say, "Lord, command me to come, and I'm going to walk on the water," and Jesus says, "Come," and then you get up and get out of the boat, now you're in faith. Now you're operating in faith. But Jesus is saying, "Oh, you have little faith." Well, if he did that with little faith, praise God. What can you do with a lot of it? Amen. The whole Word of God full of it. Amen. But anyway, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" If you didn't doubt, you wouldn't be in this trouble. But here's what I love about this. If you read this, instantly Jesus reached out his hand. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus reacted to his call for help. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him and he held him. I love that. He caught him and he held him. When you cry out to the Lord for help, he'll not only catch you, he'll hold on to you. He's not going to let you go. He won't let you go. Now, this is just by word of encouragement. There's some of you out there right now. You need to make your step of faith. You need to get out of the boat. But if you do stumble and you do fall, call out to Jesus. Call out to the Lord. He'll help you. He'll instantly move and grab a hold of you. And he'll hold on to you and protect you and help you. God is for you. He is never against you. But you got to get out of the boat. You got to make a stand in faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust you enjoyed this message. I want you to meditate on it. Read these scriptures. Really meditate on what happened here. Amen. Because I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Now, go to our website, wofm.org. We've got articles, we've got teaching, we've got audio files, we've got video netcasts like the one you're watching right now. All kinds of things available on the website. We want them to be a blessing to you. So go there and check them out and send your friends. Send them emails. Tell them, "Hey, go check out wofm.org. Amen. Also, we'd love for you to write us here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213, 5213, High Point, North Carolina. The zip code 27262. And again, you can also write me at my email address, Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, @ WOFM.org. It's right here on the screen. Send me an email. Let me know how this ministry is ministering to you, how the video netcast is ministering to you, the radio program, Word of Faith broadcast on WFR.org, internet radio, all of the things that we're involved in. I'd love to know that you're listening, and I'd love to know that it's a blessing to you. Amen. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.